Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. We are at Champ Camp, the NovaCare Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. You hear the music there. We have an investigation we got to do in a second, but did want to give you an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Should the Eagles become more of a passing team this season, yes or no? Right now, 61% of the audience saying no. The Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. At WIP Midday Show is where you can find the question on Twitter. And I'm just laughing because I look at the question from yesterday. Is calling a friend's wife ugly okay? That's a great question.
Well, see,
that's just hilarious.
Well, see, because it was taken out of context.
You said it was okay.
Well, a lot of times we do stuff that's taken out of context, and you know, people don't listen to what's being said.
Well, what's the added context to that? It's your
friend.
Well,
I said if we're friends.
That's in the poll.
If your wife is not attractive, then I'm your friend. That sounds like exactly
what the poll was.
No, well, it's not, but it was taken out. Because, okay, this is what happened.
You tried to add context to it, and you just reiterated what the poll was.
No,
14% of the people agree with you, too.
But see, this is what happened. Okay, so we had a caller call in yesterday. And TK, he said verbatim, "I have a smoking hot wife." Now,
Aaron, yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say his name, but
since you went there, I can't stop you.
As a friend, when you say, like, if you say beautiful, that beautiful is one thing, right?
Yes.
Smoking hot is what? Okay, what is your definition of smoking hot?
Right.
So as a friend, I need to see that. You know what I mean? If I'm your friend.
Yeah.
If you said, hey, I just met this smoking hot lady. What she look like? I don't think I'm out of line for saying that. And if you say your wife's smoking hot and we're friends, and I haven't seen your wife, I need to see what she look like.
But where
I want to see what your definition of smoking hot is.
But where'd the ugly part come into play?
Well, Kyle said, if she's ugly, would you tell him?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I probably wouldn't say anything.
No, you said it's a no, dude. Do you want me to pull up the tape? You said if it's your friend, it's okay to call your wife.
Well, if it's
ugly.
I'm not confirming or denying anything.
That's the context of the poll.
But what I'm saying, this is basically what I'm saying. If she's ugly, I probably just won't say anything.
Okay,
all right.
But you know, if I don't say anything, then you know she's ugly.
Well, I love Hugh's commitment that's not taking the L.
You know what I mean? But
it
it's like, dude. When you say smoking hot, you like curiosity kills the cat.
You want to see what
you know what I mean? If you say, "Hey man, she looks great." That's not the same level as smoking hot.
Smoking hot brings your expectations
because,
to another level.
Let me just say this, and we could keep it PC. But when you hear smoking hot, you in your mind, you have a visual of what potentially, you know what smoking hot is to you, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I want to see what smoking hot is to you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, I know what it means to me when I hear it. I want to see what your definition of smoking hot is.
Okay. All right.
That's all.
That's fine. I just, like, you were upset about the poll lacking context.
Kyle was like, I can't believe you just asked him that. I said, well, Kyle, he said his wife was smoking hot.
Yeah.
And then it devolved into, well, what if she's ugly? And I was like, okay, if she's ugly, then you could, if we're friends, I can say she's ugly.
Yeah, well,
you cannot. You can, okay, how about you can say she all right?
No.
Why can't you say she all right?
How do you say the I?
Like that?
She's all right.
She's all right. No, you say like she all right.
All right.
I think you just avoid that.
Yeah, that's not
hot.
Good. Yeah.
She ain't smoking hot.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I just thought it was a funny Twitter poll.
No, it's just.
Sorry, I opened a can of worms here, guys.
And you know, Kyle Brow beat me about that even when we were off the show. He was upset.
I really didn't. I was just hung up on the idea.
He was disappointed.
You thinking that it's okay to comment on somebody's wife's appearance.
If we are friends.
It's really not.
If we're friends, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on this.
I won't.
I'll go down with the ship. I'll go down with you.
Well, there you go. It's not true.
By the way, somebody said you and Jordan look like cell phone bar service bars standing next to each other.
Okay,
like the cell service bars at the top of cell.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. 215-592-9494. What are we investigating today, Kyle?
So, every time we have a fart on the show, first of all, it all started with the man you're sitting next to, Hugh Douglas. Is that trailer stinking up at all?
I did not fart.
It smells okay. It's a little steamy, but it smells fine.
It's a rare day for Hugh, because usually he's stinking it up in that studio when he's sitting next to Joe.
See, I ain't right.
We had this moment a while ago.
It's a luxury. That's a heel. That heel is going to stay there.
That was a fart. I mean, there's no question in my mind that was a fart. The people have spoken to. We conducted an investigation. And really, ever since then, when a fart comes to our attention, a potential fart, we have to conduct an investigation. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, it was right after the Sanchez outing, the complete game. Rob Thompson was at the podium, and I believe he was talking about Joe Ross's injury and what happened there and how they were alerted to it. Now, listen to this clip, and you guys let me know if you think Rob Thompson let one slip during this press conference. Here it is.
Okay. In between innings, actually, he just stepped in a hole or something on the mound. One of the opposing pitchers, the hole that they created.
Wait a minute, did I miss it?
I think I heard it. I think it was a fart.
It was
toward the end.
Yeah. Okay, could you run it again? That was it?
That was it. Let's play the full clip again, Kyle. So
in between innings, actually, he just stepped in a hole or something on the mound. One of the opposing pitchers, the hole that they created.
Now, being at the same time.
It's usually the pause that indicates that it might be a fart. If you
But it's not. He didn't. I don't think
it was a fart?
No.
Well, then what was it?
I think it was.
No, I don't think it was.
What do you think it was? A chair squeak?
So basically, you said he squeezed one out in the press conference, and you could hear it.
Well, he paused at the exact moment. That's what's incriminating about it.
Well, because that happened to me, too, so I'm giving top the
best. It's a luxury. That's a heel. That heel is going to stay there.
See?
That's the most clear and obvious one. I think that one's open and shut.
Don't laugh at him about it. Don't laugh at him. Man, it's not funny. I didn't fart.
Okay.
And I don't think Topper farted either.
So the only thing that would have been a dead giveaway was the Jaguars' old general manager, Trent Baalke.
He had
a moment at a press conference where he let one rip and then followed it with, excuse me. So I don't know if you've ever heard this one, TK.
I've never heard it.
Okay, here it is.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
He even said, excuse me. Yes. I mean, he basically just admitted it on the fly.
That might have been a burp, though.
No, that was a fart. I mean, hold on.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final.
There's not even a debate whether that's a burp or a fart. That's a fart.
You know, like all realness, he might need to check his drawers after that. He might have. That might have been something.
Doesn't Trent Baalke? Excuse me. Doesn't he just sound like a guy who had no problem farting in public? Like sometimes you can just tell by somebody's voice.
Some people don't.
I don't know. I feel like that's the way Baalke is. Yeah, I'm voting Topper did, Kyle.
You think he did?
I think he did. Yeah. Do you think he did?
Did he fart? No, I don't think he farted.
Don't stick up for your fellow
farter.
Gas passers.
I don't think Topper farted.
That heel's going to stay there.
I'm going to ask Scott tomorrow. That's going to be the first question.
You're going to ask Scott tomorrow?
Poor Scott, man.
Oh, man.
Don't get Scott.
Scott's going to be right. Scott gets back from vacation, and the first question he's going to face. Topper farted his press conference.
I'm starting to feel like Scott's with the shenanigans a little bit. I'm starting to feel like that. A couple times we've talked on the phone, he's I'm going to ask him. Do you think Topper? You got to play the clip for him. We can probably ask him at the end, but I'm asking him if they Topper farted.
Yeah, Scott likes the shenanigans.
Yeah, he's with it. He's with that.
There you go. So what's your official vote, Kyle?
I'm going to have to say he did.
Yeah. I think he did. So Rob Thompson.
The squeaker.
Watch it. Yeah, it was. Rob Thompson, you're going to have to watch yourself because the midday show will always be on the. Kyle, are you just monitoring?
We on fart alert
all the time.
We on fart alert.
Like for any sort of fart noises you can find.
Sure, or just anything.
We are all about the shenanigans here.
Swallow it, and eat it.
Yeah, we into all the little childish, idiosyncrasies and stuff like that.
I support it. 215-592.
Well, we do too.
9494 if you want to get in. Rob Thompson, guilty. As John Johnson would say.
No, guilty.
Guilty. That's great.
Listen, I love me. Sound a little zesty on that one, though. That was zesty. That was zesty. I can say zesty, can't I?
Yeah, you can.
Zesty's okay.
So.
Is zesty okay, Kyle?
I think so.
He's not responding,
so I'm going to say for
him. Yeah, we're going to leave it that one alone.
Yeah.
We won't go with that. We won't touch that one.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
All right, let me try this again.
Hey, much better Violet. Now, Violet. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry about it. Only one that got an attitude is Kyle. We're good. Me and TK.
Yeah. Don't let Kyle bully you. It's all right.
I want to get in on both things, the Phillies and the Eagles. So for the Eagles, I don't think they have to change anything, but I think they will willingly. We're still going to run the ball, but I think the league has not seen anything yet. It is going to be the Jalen, Devontae, and AJ show.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, Violet. Part of the reason why I do think they should throw the ball more is I think they can throw the ball more. You know, I don't think this is something
definitely.
Where, like, I think with you know, some of the misconceptions about the offense and throwing the ball more, I don't think this is anything to, like, prove critics wrong or have Jalen ranked higher. I personally don't care about that kind of stuff. I just think when you look at this offense, I think they could be more explosive. I think you have two of the best receivers in football. And, hey, I mean, Jalen Hurts showed in the two biggest games of the year he's capable of doing it. If he's capable of doing it and defenses are stacking the box more, take advantage of it.
And then for the Phillies, you know, I know this is going to sound weird. I know they had a 5-0 lead, but they hung in there, and that was a pretty ballsy, you know, showing last night. You know, could have just laid down and died, and they didn't. I'm sorry about that. Was I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you said it. It's cool.
No, that's fine. You're good, Violet.
I mean, look, it took guts, you know. And Lizardo, I'm a little nervous. I feel bad because, my gosh, when he first came out, you know, he came out on fire. But and I agree. You know, let's see what Nola has when he comes back, and let's put Lizardo, you know, in the bullpen. I mean.
I agree with
you. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, I don't either, Violet. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it seems like that's the way it's headed. And it was an entertaining game last night.
It was exciting. It was just unfortunate that it went south rather quickly.
Yeah.
South quickly.
You have a 5-0 lead. You got to win that game.
Yeah, it feels that way.
And the offense fought back, but, you know, not enough late in that game. And, I mean, this is the thing too about we talk about trade deadline additions and how the roster is going to shape out even in games like that. Like you see a guy like Seth Johnson in the 11th inning, Seth Johnson in a week, he can't be on this roster anymore. Mm. You know, you just got to be able to move everybody down like a spot or two in terms of how much you need to rely upon them. You know, Lazar comes out, thought did a decent job again last night, gave up the one run, but you only give up one. That's kind of your job in extra innings. You just make sure you don't give up.
You don't do too much damage. You keep the damage to a minimum.
Right. You give up one run with the runner on second base. That's typically good enough. But, yeah, the back end of that bullpen, the Seth Johnsons of the world, those guys you just can't rely on in any kind of big spot. Let's go to Corey in Delaware. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in on the Eagles talk and whether or not we should be running more or not. Hughes, 100% right. This is actually something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of years because I've noticed that defense has been getting lighter, especially up front and in the linebacker area. So I started looking before I called in, and I started looking at a couple of the stats here. Of this top six rushing leaders in the NFL, five of them are over 220 pounds. Like these guys, I don't think these defenses can actually hold up against, you know, power running backs that can actually move. And the top two were Saquon and Derrick Henry, 234 pounds and 247 pounds. I just don't think these defenses are really equipped to handle it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly a difficult thing for defenses to do. I mean, tackling Saquon, tackling Derrick Henry, it's really tough. I do think, though, Corey, that with an off season, I mean, these coaches are really smart. These coordinators do a lot of work, and I just think they're going to look at games like the Super Bowl, and they're going to find a way to limit it. I don't think they're going to shut Saquon down by any means, but I think it's going to be more difficult for the Eagles to run the ball than it was last year.
Sure, and I have a couple more quick points, if you don't mind. So, like the Rams, right? Last year, the Rams, the Eagles played them in November, and Saquon carried the ball 26 times, ran it for 225 yards and two touchdowns. They played them again in the playoffs, and you would think that they would do the same exact thing and load up the box and gear up for it, which, by the way, I feel like loading up the box has more home run potential for a running back. But in January, when they played them in the playoffs, 26 carries, 205 yards, and two touchdowns again. They just can't stop it. And then I think people are not giving Saquon enough credit for how he's going to play this year, right? So 66% of his rushing yards, they were all, you know, yards before contact. 1,300 yards came before contact. And you got to also factor in that with the fact that the Eagles have the tush-push, he's not having to throw his body in the line of scrimmage on the goal line, on 1 yard gains, 2 yard gains, where it's like, you know, fourth and one, third and one. He doesn't take that unnecessary contact. If you think back to last year, most of his runs were home runs. They were just, if you think back, it's just, he wasn't touched in a lot of these runs. I think he's actually going to be a little more fresh than a lot of people think.
Well, I hope that's the case, Corey, and appreciate the call. And I mean, I would hope that's true. But Q, I mean, history would tell you, like, any running back who has the kind of workload that Saquon had last season, it's just hard to bounce back and carry the ball like that again. It's really hard to take that level of punishment.
Yeah, I mean, but he didn't get hit a lot. But you do worry about his health. And I think that the thing that you do, he works out like a beast. He looks like he's in great shape. You try to give him a little bit of a respite. And that's why you go out and you get the running back in the offseason. You got the young guy from Clemson. Can't think of his name right now.
Will Shipley.
And you start trying to work those guys in. If you find a formula where you can have three or four running backs back there, and Saquon is the lead back, and, you know, you spell him a little bit, he can still be effective. This running game could still be effective. And not only that, man, it adds another dimension to your offense. I don't know what it is, but when you change those running backs and you have two different contrasting styles of running backs, that's hard to defend. Because, you know, I remember being in a week where, who was it? Steven Davis was the running back for the Commodores.
Yep.
And I remember the game plan was geared to stop him that week, and we did that for the most part until they put that damn Brian Mitchell with his old ass in the game, with all due respect. Because when Brian came into the game, his running style gave us fits because he was more of a – you know, he wasn't that fast, but he had vision, and he could catch the ball out of the backfield. And he was so small, man, that, you know, when you're going against a bigger running back, it's an easier target. But when you got a smaller guy back there that you have to work to get past the offensive line and then pinpoint where he is, Brian did a great job of following his lead blockers and making it difficult for you to tee off on him. So that's potentially what it could bring to the table. You can still have an effective running game if you get some of those other running backs to come in and contribute and take some of that pressure off of Saquon, because it changes the tempo of the game.
And I think that's something the Eagles are going to need to do a little bit this year. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think – and I know Saquon is a freak of nature physically. I mean, without question – I just don't think he can hold up to that same level of punishment. And I think you do need to now that you're beyond last year, you want Saquon Barkley for the next few years. Like, mm-hmm. You don't want to burn him out. You don't want to run him into the ground. And I'm not saying, you know, you don't use him a lot, but I do think this year you need to pick your spots a little more. Like, I think you need to have weeks this year where you say, okay, well, we're going to dial back Saquon a little bit. We're not going to have him touch the ball 25, 30 times a game, because I think you can maybe get away with it 1 year, but history just shows multiple seasons when guys have workloads like that, even for the most, you know, physically imposing running backs, it's just hard to be able to stand up to that year over year.
I mean, it's not too many stories you hear of running backs of that caliber going back-to-back like that.
No.
You know, I think AP had a year where he – I forgot what it was. He rushed for like 2,000, but he came back and he still had a decent year, but it wasn't what he had that 2,000-yard year.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. Yeah. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. What's up, Jim?
Slow day today at WIP when there's no Cowboy news.
Oh. Well, right? Has your owner said something stupid today yet?
Michael Parson.
He never.
Michael. You called him Michael.
He's a moron, okay? You can admit that, right?
He's not a moron. I don't know where you come up with that stuff.
He came out and he ripped his best player the other day for no reason.
It's all part of the negotiation. It's all part of the negotiation, okay?
He's a bad negotiator.
That's bad.
It's going to be a Herschel Walker trade.
You got to stop with that.
A bunch of guys.
You want to trade? So you think he's playing? He's like playing chess because he's going to trade his best player.
Trade Michael Parsons.
He's pretty smart. He's a pretty smart dude having to deal with billions of dollars and all these players and all these other things going on. So don't sit there and say he's an idiot.
How smart can he be, Jim? He hasn't been in the championship game in 30 years.
Dude, you're digging yourself a bigger hole with the whole hot women stuff. So you just need to just back off a little bit, okay?
They don't understand. I stand firm. I stand 10 toes down on this, Jim. They don't get it. It's okay. It has to be a cultural thing.
You're single. You're around a bunch of married guys with kids. You know, they know. They understand.
No,
Kyle's not married with kids. What are you talking about?
No, nope. Kyle's not married. Well, not yet, anyway.
Like hey, don't you hate this? I hate seeing Aaron from San Diego implode like this. Isn't it sad? It's something that Dirty Harry said in Magnum Force. Man's got to know his limitations. And it's time, Aaron, to move on. Go find somebody else to call and bother.
What do you do? What did Aaron do?
Yeah, what's your problem with Aaron?
He's an idiot. Why do you put up with him? Why do you put him on all the time?
Well, we can say the same about you, Jim. Why do we put you on all the time?
Hey, Kyle, what are you doing with these screeners? Who are you screening? You had one good call, and that was Olive Garden Way today.
I put you through.
He said Olive Garden Way.
You better watch your tongue, buddy.
All right, thanks, Jim.
The call-on-caller crime has gotten out of hand.
I'll tell you what, it is truly an unbelievable phenomenon, this Aaron versus Jim rivalry. Because after each
everybody.
Of them calls, I want to side with the other one. But, like I can't stand either of them.
But Aaron's become a pretty big target, though, because Chris in Middletown was taking shots at him earlier today, too.
Spike came after Aaron yesterday in the afternoon show as well.
Yep.
And you know what? Me and Aaron are friends because he did send me a picture of his wife.
He did?
He did.
And?
All right.
He did all right for himself.
Okay.
And before you ask, since we are friends, I can't put his business out there. He sent it to me as a friend.
Oh, he sent it directly
but he did,
to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he sent it directly. He did all right for himself. I'm not going to lie. You know I ain't going to lie. He did all right for himself.
Okay.
He did all right.
All right. Well, are you
salute?
Are you an Aaron supporter now? Are you an Aaron's?
No. You know what? Since we're here, I'm surprised. I mean, you know, it's one of those things.
That's not
Aaron,
nice,
Aaron. I love you, but you know, I mean, we see you. Like it's one of them things where you know you'd be like, damn, how you pull that off? You know what? But he ain't alone because you know D Gunn, right? Derek Gunn.
Uh huh. Yeah, of course.
He did the same thing. He outkicked his coverage.
Okay.
Just saying, love you, D Gunn, right. But you. You outkicked your coverage, dog. You know you did.
Nobody can insult like you, Douglas. Saying. I'll tell you what.
I mean, D-Gun know he outkicked his coverage, dog. You know he know he ugly. D-Gun know he ugly.
I don't believe that. I think Derek Gunn's a very handsome man.
D-Gun know he ugly.
That's you talking,
when
Derek.
He met his wife, he outkicked his coverage. Because D-Gun had hair. He had the little afro. Wife had an afro. D-Gun is an ugly dude. He outkicked his coverage. Love him to death, though.
Don't agree. 215-592-9494. One final segment to get your calls in. You people coming up at 1:45. Very excited for that. Plus, I got to hear apparently a wild phone call to this show yesterday that I need to hear. So we'll do that when we get back. Get to your calls as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. Live from the NovaCare Complex, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, this is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex. 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. You joined earlier on the show by Jeremiah Trotter Jr. by Jordan Mailata. You can go back, Odyssey Rewind app, listen to those interviews, or check out the podcasts of them. But interesting stuff from both those guys. Jordan Mailata, always interesting to talk to. And Jeremiah Trotter, I thought really interesting to talk to as well, a guy who could have a big role on this team this year, for sure.
Has the potential to make an impact, man.
Yeah.
You know, being in this defense, the second season in this defense, had learned a lot, played a lot of special teams. This could be a good year for him.
Yeah. It really, really seems like a good kid, too. So,
yeah,
rooting for the best for Jeremiah Trotter Jr. for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to a few calls in a few minutes. We have you people coming up at 145.
You people. This should be interesting.
But we're doing our kind of pre-show call this morning. And Kyle brought up this call yesterday that you guys got to your show from a gentleman named Art. Now, I did not hear the call, but I saw some commotion about it on social media. We have this call ready, correct, Kyle?
Yeah, so first, I mean, the premise of the call in general, not just for you, but I think for anybody that lives around here or watched football last season, would be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Have you ever heard of somebody since last season call in and say, I don't like this Vic Fangio guy in his defense?
What?
Have you ever heard that? Yeah.
No.
So, yeah,
I can't even imagine how that thought would, you know, creep into somebody's mind.
Yeah. So that's how it started. And then just the end of the call was really where I know this particular thing is kind of a bugaboo for you and you're always ranting about it. So I'll play this call. It's about 3 minutes because, I mean, the call went pretty long, but I'll play the second half of the call and I'll get your guys' reaction to how it ended.
Look, he's a great coach, no question about it, but I don't like the bend but don't break defense. That's all. Remember the game against the Rams? The guy dropped the ball in the end zone in the corner there. They should have won that game.
Well, they could have, but they didn't.
Then we got the sack after that.
Yeah.
Come on. Look.
Art, they dominated Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Because they had no offensive line.
How come no one else does that to the Chiefs?
Plus, that was a revenge game.
What about the week before, Art, when they had three turnovers against the Commanders?
What is your biggest bet? What is your biggest bet on a game?
Biggest bet money-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, who's betting?
What are we talking about now?
How much money I'm betting on games. Do you want to bet, Art? Is that what this is about?
I'm not going to talk about myself. I don't want to. I don't like that bend but don't break it. I want to see a six-man line.
It's 2025.
A three-man line. I want to see diversity on that line. We could go with a 3-4. We could go with a 4-3. We could put 5 and 6-man line. No, he stays the same thing. And what happens? We got to win on turnovers.
Did you see the game when they beat Burrow last year and Lamar? And Daniels twice?
Not only that, the first game of the season.
Listen, Baltimore stinks, okay?
Baltimore stinks.
Baltimore led the league in points scored.
They led the league.
Listen, hold on. Yeah, but doing the league don't mean nothing. Playoffs are what counts. What are they doing in the playoffs? Come on. They look like they're killing you for three quarters.
It wasn't impressive at all to go to Baltimore in December and hold them to like 10 points.
The last five minutes of the game.
They were great offense.
They lost, didn't they? Did they lose?
So the Chiefs game doesn't count. The Ravens game didn't count. How about when they beat Burrow in Cincinnati? And count?
Burrow don't have the players that the Eagles have.
Why? I know that.
We got two number one wide receivers.
What does Burrow have at receiver?
We got two or three
good tight ends.
I just don't know how you watched last season and weren't impressed with the defense.
Wait a minute, who got good tight ends?
I don't know.
It was all right.
It was all right.
Live your truth.
It was the best defense we've ever seen here.
Live your truth.
Oh, get the hell out of here. No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Well, what was better?
Under Buddy Ryan.
And what did they do in the playoffs? You said the playoffs all that matters. What did those teams do in the playoffs?
It's not our fault. Right. The guy goes for third down at 39.
Right.
And
if you still think the Buddy Ryan era is more impressive than last year, you're living in the 80s.
My goodness gracious, they dominated
Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and you're more interested in beating up some crappy NFC team from 1989. You're nuts.
Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. We had other. Look, you couldn't get up the ball over the 50-yard line against us.
Yeah, how come they didn't win big games then?
Because Buddy Ryan was a buffoon. Yep.
Okay. I think we've reached our limit there.
I thought he was talking about how much he loved Buddy Ryan, and then he called him buffoon at the end of the call.
What the
hell was Art talking about?
You know, like most of our
calls. This guy's an idiot.
They go all over the place. That's not nice, Kelly.
I'm sorry.
Not nice.
It worked me up.
That's not nice.
Kyle knew I'd get annoyed by that call. Buddy Ryan, the guy had no clue what he was talking about.
But the best is like, and that's why I lay it out on the call, because I could see Joe getting upset.
I would have gotten upset too. Joe was right to get upset. I will say your little comments were cracking me
live
up.
Your truth. Hey, live your truth. Hey, Art, if you're listening, Art, live your truth. Call again.
Your truth is a lie, Art.
I mean, there's a lot that was probably stretched.
A lot that was blatantly just untrue. What was he talking about?
He was talking about a lot. But yeah, live your truth, Art.
Yeah, the Chiefs stink. The Ravens stink. And Burrow has no weapons.
Yeah, that was the best. But Burrow doesn't have
what we
have.
Don't let these people move you off your square, Art.
Burrow literally might be the only other guy in the league who has as good receivers as the Eagles do. Might be the only other guy.
Yeah, he was all over.
This is what I was talking about with the dangers of you telling people to live their truth.
Live your truth!
That's a dangerous truth to live.
I mean, now...
No, it's not the truth. It might be his truth. It's not the truth.
Listen, what you choose to believe is on you. Like there
you
was
shouldn't
a lot
be encouraging this behavior. Yeah.
There was a lot. There was a
discouraging
lot.
This behavior.
There was a lot there for us to digest that Art said. Now, a lot of it I did not agree with. But
I'll
Art,
get the hell out of here.
Live your truth, Art. Live your truth.
Get the hell out of here.
If that's how you feel, Art, damn it, that's how you feel.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
I would love to talk to Art. I'm not going to lie. Art, please call tomorrow.
Yeah, he probably offended.
Man,
it was passionate.
No clue what he's talking about. That was an absurd.
I appreciate the passion. Now, it's one thing when you know. Yeah.
So, what was his problem with the defense?
Too bend but don't break.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's true.
Yep.
He wants more loaded up front.
Six man lines. Yep.
He wanted a 6-man line. That's. And I was like, huh?
Because the number one defense in the NFL just wasn't good enough
nope.
for Art.
Mm-mm.
Just wasn't good enough.
It did give me. Like, I think this is going to be one of my new favorite drops, though.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
That is a great one. The cadence in which he says it is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
But Art has no idea what he's talking about. 215-592-9494, you want to get in. You people coming up in a few minutes here. But let's go back to the phones. Go to Julio in Wilmington. What's up, Julio?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
What up, man?
Hey, this is just a quick question. I just want to get your guys' opinion. I've been thinking about this ever since they released the release the top 10 QBs and everything. I'll preface the question by saying this. I think we can all agree that this league is a what have you done for me lately league, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Year-to-year league.
It blows my mind how, at least to me, it seems like, well, particular quarterbacks we emphasize what they've done in the regular season as of what they've done in the postseason. And I just think that – I just want your opinion on the consistency that we might need to have when we're evaluating these quarterbacks, because there's so many quarterbacks that drop great stats on the regular season but are abysmal in the postseason. I'm sure you guys know this. So my question to you is, don't you think we should probably prioritize what quarterbacks are doing in the postseason as opposed to what they're doing in the regular season? It's like a James Harden thing. Like, everyone knows James Harden is going to be great in the regular season, but he's known for not showing up.
Let me tackle this, TK. Listen, I feel like you should attack it the way that you feel supports the way that you feel.
Live your truth?
Yeah, live your truth, man. I mean, because listen. We are living, and I say this every day, we are living in an era where a lot of the stuff that we say is because we want to be right about our opinion, you know. And for me, being the era that I grew up in and the era that I played in, you know, the guy that wins the Super Bowl, he's the man that year. regardless of what the regular season was, whatever. Like, for example, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl in a year where the team basically told him, "Nah, we not about to pay you. You got to prove it to us." Not only did he win the Super Bowl, he won Super Bowl MVP.
He played great that postseason.
Played great that postseason. And we've gotten to a point now where we've – okay, Jalen, for example. We want to pick his game apart so much that now it's said by some that you can't evaluate him because of the talent he has around him. And I've seen quarterbacks that have talent around them that can't do anything with it, you know? So there's two sides to this coin, but it just all depends on where you fall in that and what you choose to believe. I myself believe that Jalen's a top 10 quarterback. Now, where you want to put him, that's an argument. But what he's accomplished, Jalen has been in the playoffs every year that he's been in the league, and he's been to two Super Bowls in 5 years. Like, what other quarterback that has a like physically is more physically gifted than Jalen Hurts has that resume?
Yeah, there aren't a lot, and I think, and I appreciate the call, Julio. Thanks. And I think that's the thing.
That's how you have to look at it.
When you look at how you're evaluating it, like, I think the easy answer is they both matter. Like, yes, postseason matters a lot, and that's why, like, I personally have Jalen sixth on where I rank him.
Put it like this. I'm sorry, TK. I know you was about to cook.
No, you're good.
But put it like this. If I was from – well, I am from another planet, but – if I came from my planet and came here and I didn't know anything about football and you showed me the resumes of three people, right? And when you talk about regular season stats as opposed to playoff stats and things of that nature, I'm going to probably lean towards the guy that in the playoffs, probably numbers are something, in some games are lackluster, but he figures out how to win games.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, are you insinuating that somebody to think that Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow is from a different planet?
Or? I'm not insinuating anything.
Well, okay.
All I'm saying is this. When the games are on the line, like for whatever reason, we can even say it like this, Kyle. Jalen puts the hands in the guys that make things happen. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not him.
But here's the thing.
Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, sure. But like I guess like just the way you said it was coming from another planet, like we all watch football, right? So we have the ability
but everybody don't understand.
No, but like you would think that we can look at it a little bit more nuanced than somebody coming from another planet just looking at the resume and saying this guy wins, this guy doesn't. Therefore, the guy that wins is better than the other guy. But as people who watch football, and I guess to your point, most of us, some of us understand it. Don't you think that we would be able to think a little bit more deeper in how we evaluate one guy compared to another?
I don't think so because we've. Like, Kyle, like, again, not saying anybody's name, but we have a lot of people that have opinions on certain things that they tend to forget where they benefited from. You know, like okay, Cam Newton, since we're here, had a top 10 defense. And his physical attributes at the time he played allowed him to beast the opponents that he played against.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's like I just find it – he's allowed to have his opinion. I'm always started with that, preface it with that. But Ron Rivera ran an offense that was conducive to your skill set, right? And they had success with that, so much success that they took him to the Super Bowl. And with all due respect, your limited skill set wasn't enough to get you – the championship. Jalen has, like, when you look at Jalen, man, and we say this as a negative, but I don't think it is. Jalen does what's needed to get the W. He might, you know what I mean? And for whatever reason, for him, that's looked at as a negative.
But this is the thing. I don't, like, personally, I don't view it that way. I just think the context of it matters. Like, I feel like we can watch and we can say Jalen is... he wins a lot of games, and that's something that he should be lauded for. And his postseason performance, specifically in the championship game and the Super Bowl, is something that he should be lauded for. But, like, I still look at the entirety of the season, and I don't know. I look at Joe Burrow, I look at Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I think those guys are better players. That doesn't mean I think Jalen's bad. Like, I think Jalen's like the sixth best quarterback in the league, which I think is pretty good. I just don't base it all on postseason success. Goes into it, but that's not all of it.
I don't think that anybody. I think we all have our opinions. Like, and I always say you're entitled to that. But I feel like we're in an era where, especially when it comes to this team, because Howie has done such a great job of amassing so much talent that we have to evaluate the quarterback differently. Because, number one, Jalen's a leader. I mean, I don't think that can be disputed by anybody. Now, is Jalen as talented as the other guys that we talk about? Nah, he's not.
Yeah.
But, you know. There, it is what it is.
Yeah. No. But now it is time, before the end of the show here, got to check in with you people.
Damn. Do we have
you people?
Yeah.
It's time to hear from you people.
Don't worry, you're off the hook today.
Were they killing Tom?
For the most part.
No, they're back. You people are back.
I like when you come,
not
Tom.
Not looking forward to this.
Heat off of me.
Real quick, sponsored by New Jersey Human Services. Don't let something as dangerous as fentanyl take you from friends. Stay in the picture and stay away from fentanyl. Learn the risks of this mortal drug at stayinthepick.nj.gov. Real quick, new Hugh Douglas gem just dropped.
Pretty clutch. He's pretty pretty clutch.
It was a disaster.
Hot fire. Spit hot fire.
I knew Tom Kelly was a shrimp, but sitting next to my Lotta really makes Hugh look like one, too.
Yeah, Jordan, the big dude.
Man. He is huge, man.
So I haven't really been able to see because I'm back here. But Hugh is apparently looking extra gray today. Have you noticed that, TK?
I'm looking extra gray.
Yeah. I haven't noticed. I mean, I feel like Hugh always looks kind of gray with the beard.
I mean,
oh, wow.
I guess because of the,
I guess because of the gray shirt,
the gray shirt, I guess.
All right. Well, that's good because we're about to get to TK in just a second.
He said that was it for me.
See, he was softening it up. Yeah.
Tom Kelly is so short that it looks like his legs are still buffering.
That's terrible.
I didn't pick this one up until I looked it up, but TK kind of looks like Patton Oswalt. I can see that, actually.
Patton Oswalt.
So now I'm a mix of Patton Oswalt and Jolly?
Yeah, we'll get to that Jolly? One later, too.
Oh, no.
TK looks like a 45-year-old kindergartner.
Oh, wow.
38.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You do kind of look like Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. You look like you should be starring in car dealership commercials.
I'll take that. That's one of the more positive ones, I think.
You look like the guy you call to come fix your sewage leak in your basement.
Okay.
And Tom Kelly looks like he sweeps the popcorn off the floor in the movie theaters.
I don't know about that one, maybe.
And we got a lot of Jolly comps last week. Lil Jolly, Baby Jolly. But this one I haven't heard, and this one might be the toughest one of them all. A poor man's Paul Jolovitz.
A poor man's? Paul. What does that mean?
That is cold.
Man.
Yeah, it's cold.
Well, we'll see if people can get in with tomorrow for you people. Please let me know all the jobs that I look like I would do.
Yeah, the jobs are awesome.
Yeah, Hugh, it really does get you off the hook when I'm in. The you people,
does,
just, they usually come
They usually
me.
Kill me, but since you're here, it changes.
That picture, not very flattering for me next to you and Jordan Mylotta. Yeah, I have no chance.
Jordan's a big dude, man. Yeah. Jordan is a big dude.
Yeah, he is. He's absolutely huge. But a fun show today. Check out our interviews with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Jordan Mylotta from earlier on in the show. Be back in tomorrow filling in for Joe. Be in studio tomorrow. And make sure you're staying tuned. The afternoon show, they are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.